So what is the final definition of freedom? It's that you've totally have surrendered your will to the will of the Lord. That there is no longer two wills, your will and the will of God. The basic premise of the material world is that the wills become separate, or at least seemingly so. So separate in this world that some people doubt the very existence of God when there is nothing else but God. This world is about having your own will and doing what it is that you want to do. Now, where the illusion comes in is that what you want to do, your separate will, is actually something to hold on to, that it actually is giving you something. That by holding on to your separate will, your separate identity, you're going to get something that you're not going to get if you lose that will. So it is a very frightening thought to the mind, giving up your will. If you give up your will, then where is your identity? So it is the job of the illusion to keep you convinced that what you're holding on to is something of value. It is worth holding on to. It is worth fighting to hold on to. That is why the final step to leaving this world, breaking the cycle of birth and death, can only be taken by a very small number. Because what most people want from God in this world is they want enough light. They want enough of a connection to God to be happy in this world. So your religious people, they know enough to know that they cannot be happy unless they are more aligned with the will of the Lord or closer to the will of God. So they take steps to become closer to God and have God more present in their life. So this is the primary function of the religions. They are getting a connection to God. There is no doubt about that. But the thing is what the majority of the people that are doing, that are on spiritual paths, is they want enough of a connection to God to make them happy in this world. And no more. And the reality is the path to freedom may or may not lead to direct daily happiness in this world. Now, this present path of freedom that is happening here is different in many ways from the traditional paths. But if you study the traditional paths of freedom and you look at the lives of the saints and the masters and the things that they went through, they went through, anyway, terrible things, tortures, different types of sufferings. But that's what they were willing to do because they were truly surrendered to the will of God. The most extreme example being Jesus, who was asked to be crucified. That was what he was asked to do. He surrendered to the will of the Lord, and what he was asked to do is to die a horrible death like that. That's what was desired of him by God. This is not the desire of most people seeking God. They want to be happy. And there is a line that you cross over where surrender to God may or may not equate into happiness in this plane, and it doesn't matter anymore to you because all you want is the ultimate state of surrender to the will of God. Just like this group gathered here today, you've already crossed over that line. You already know that this isn't equating into daily happiness for you, what you would hardly call daily happiness. It's already come to that. If you want to be happy in this world and still have a connection to God, then this isn't the place to be. Because it's not about that. So the thing is what is it about? Does it mean that there will be no happiness? Does it there will be no ecstasy? These things will be there, but they aren't the primary focus of one who is surrendered to God. The primary focus of one who has truly surrendered to God is that they just want to do the will of the Lord, no matter what that is. And if, by the way, that equates into material happiness, then that's fine. And the thing is your life and the life of someone who is seeking happiness in the material world may look identical, but it is the focus that is entirely different, and therefore the consciousness, which is entirely different, and therefore the conclusion of your evolution. In other words, you are coming to a state of freedom and they are submitting to a state of bondage by the illusion. To try to be happy in this world as a separate endeavor is what everybody is trying to do. This isn't about trying to be happy in the world. It's about coming to a state of total surrender to God. Now, the fact that this is going to equate into so much happiness in this world is another thing, but it is a byproduct of the main goal of surrendering to God. And it is a state that cannot be faked. I mean, maybe you can fake it to other people, but you can't fake it to God. In other words, if you say, "I am completely surrendered to the will of the Lord, but as long as I have this amount of money and as long as I have this standard of material happiness, then I'll be surrendered to the will of the Lord and do whatever the Lord wants me to, as long as I am taken care of in this way." And that's what's really in your heart. But if he asks me to live in a tent, then, well, maybe not. You have to be willing to do anything that is asked of you by God, anything at all. If this doesn't seem clear, what I'm saying, it's not an easy area to clarify. Like I say, there are things about this path of total freedom that are different. Traditionally, what did you have to do to become free? Traditionally, you had to give up the material things, which some of you have done. Some of you have done that, where you've given up everything. You've lived in a commune situation. You've given up your material possessions. You've surrendered your whole life. You did all of that. This is a traditional way of doing it. It was the way to get free. To break the bondage with the material world, you couldn't have anything to do with the material world. That is the way that it used to be. Of course, it used to be other things also. All breaking with the material world, there couldn't be a relationship between man and woman, because the trouble and the bondage between men and women was so great that if you had anything to do with the opposite sex, there was no hope of getting free. All these things are material. These are the traditional ways of getting free. So people who are in the traditional line will look at this and they won't understand. They won't see what is going on here. Because, of course, what is it ultimately about isn't the external. It is a change that is in your heart. And you, all that have gathered here today, have done the work enough to know just how much change is going on in your heart. That it isn't what's going on outside of you so much, it's what's in your heart that's causing the trouble. So in India, as an example, there are so many who are worshiping God. But their primary objective is that they will get material success, if not in this lifetime, which most have given up that hope, that in their next birth, they'll take a higher birth and have everything. so many of them view the United States of America as heaven on earth, where you do have everything, where all happiness is there, practically. But they would drop their religion in a second if they could come to America and have this, what you all have now. So what is the state that you are going to come to? The state that you are going to come to is you are going to have what this plane has to offer. You are going to be taken care of. In fact, you are going to be taken care of better than you are now, which has been pointed out to some of you in these last couple of days, how you aren't even taking care of yourself. You are not taking care of your body. You're not taking care of your finances in life. You're really not even taking proper care of yourself. So you need to take even better care of yourself than you are, and that's going to happen. But what is the ultimate state that you're going to come to, even while taking excellent care of yourself and having so many things in this material world? When it comes time to leave, you will be able to walk away from this place without a moment's hesitation, without an instant of hesitation, knowing that in spite of all of this that you do have on this plane, that it all amounts to nothing. And this is the state that the traditional paths have always tried to get people to reach. So they practice celibacy because they know that they have to walk away from sex. And they practice poverty because they know they have to be able to walk away from the money. But for many of you who have tried that, you know that that can, of course, aggravate the problem. People who are practicing celibacy 80% of the time are thinking about sex, wishing they could have sex. People in poverty are thinking and wishing they could have some money. What's going to go on in this organization is people are basically going to have their material desires met. That doesn't mean that everyone is going to be rich and have every little whim in the material world, but you're all going to be well taken care of for the rest of your life in this material world. In other words, practically speaking, you are getting the best that this world has to offer. Here in Southern California, the United States of America, this is as good as it gets. And as good as it gets, you know you are going to easily be able to walk away from this, no matter what it is that is offered to you in this lifetime, no matter what it is that you get in this lifetime. And you will know this because of your connection to something far greater than anything in this world, and that is your connection to God. And you may or may not be aware of this phenomena, but every time you have a deep connection with God, every time you have a deep, powerful, spiritual, loving connection, there is a part of you that is being reminded that this can't go on unendingly because you are in a body. Your body cannot actually contain the constant state of ecstasy that is waiting for you. And this is something, you're not waiting for the future to find some ecstasy. You're getting that ecstasy now. You have all gotten it. If you hadn't, you wouldn't be here and be as dedicated as you are. You have tasted it already. And is that constant depth of connection that will allow you to walk away from the best that this world has to offer. It is this powerful connection which will allow that to happen, which will allow you to walk away from what all saints and masters and yogis and priests and nuns and every spiritual seeker has been trying to walk away from for centuries. The bonds of this material world. But the only way that you will attain this state is by wanting God and nothing else. That has to become the focus, that you want God and nothing else, and that is truly what you want. And you will do anything to attain that. If somehow that means periods of your life where materially there's not that much for you, then you will accept that. Or where there's a sacrifice that you need to make materially to come closer to God, then you need to do that. It is not something that you can fake. This is the mechanism that binds you or frees you, what I'm talking about here today. This is the crux of the whole matter. Being able to walk away from this world is freedom. The ultimate test being at the time of death, although you will know before then that you can pass that test. But being able to walk away from it all. But that doesn't mean that you can't have an incredible life while you are here on this earth. Because God is going to be your focus. For you, God will be the focus, and everything else will be supporting that. So everything you do will ultimately be toward that end, toward that goal. Mm-hmm. If any of you have any questions at this time, why don't we just start doing some questions? Last time I was here, we didn't have time for questions. If there's any questions now, or I can go on.
Grasana, I'd like to know the difference between aligning your will with God's will or letting go of your will in favor of God's will.
Say it again.
When you first started out, you were talking about letting go of your will in favor of God's will. And I've always thought in terms of having a will that aligns with God's will, and I was wondering if there's a difference.
Yes. I'd have to say that there is, for the purposes of what's going on here. You give up your own separate will. For those of you that have spent any time with Kalindi or Gale, you've seen how they are like possessed, or they can become like possessed. And in every waking moment of their day, they only have one thing on their mind, and that is how to help you. And if you can look at your own consciousness and see how far you are away from that reality, then you can get a barometer of where you are spiritually. Because one of the symptoms of surrendering to God's will on this path, this process, this is the way of breaking free now, is that you are going to be totally surrendered to God's will, which at this time is to break thousands of people free. And in order for that to happen, that means you are also going to have to come to the same platform that they have achieved. And they are possessed by God. They don't have a separate will, practically speaking. They can't do something different than God wants them to do. They no longer have a will of their own and God's will. They are totally possessed by God. There is only one will going on, and that is God's will. Practically speaking. Very little of their own individual will. Just enough to complain.
Till the day I die. A good example is Jesus and what Jesus had to do. He didn't necessarily want to do that, but God wanted him to do that. So ultimately, your will's aligned, but God may want you to do something that you don't necessarily want to do, and you do it anyway because God wants you to do it. So there is an alignment that happens, basically. But on top of that alignment, God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it, you do it anyway.
Yes. And there can be an alignment without a surrender. There can be people who are more aligned with the will of God than others, but they haven't really given up their will to God. There is an alignment that's taking place. But whereas, again, like Clindy and Gale, they're just, you know, maybe they're woken up in the middle of the night, and it's certainly not their will that is waking them up, but they're woken up, and they're all they can do is, you know, whatever they're being practically like forced to do, or another will has taken over their will. So anyway, like that.
Grasana, could you speak a little bit more about Jesus? In the books we just finished reading, it talked about how he fragmented, parts of him fragmented back here, and I'd just like for you to speak about that.
About fragmentation?
Yeah. And how that can happen if he was an incarnation? Because I just that whole part just blew me away. So.
All of these types of things, I would just categorize under spiritual fairy tales, which doesn't mean that there's not truth to them. But when you get into these areas, trying to talk about the truth in these areas, anyway, it sounds like insanity. And you don't want to give a lot of energy or time to understanding any of these types of things. If they have an entertainment value for you, like watching TV, then there's something. But as far as any real spiritual help, there's not... there's not really a lot of benefit that comes from talking about these things. Fragmentation is a reality, and how it works is, how do you understand it? How do you understand your own fragmentation? Your own fragmentation, what a reality that is. That's one fragmentation that you can be aware of, and that is that the part that's sitting here in the body is just a fragment of who you really are. That means your entire self isn't even present. Your entire self cannot be present in a body because your body cannot hold it. Because who you really are is very, very great, is very, very vast. So fragmentation does happen, and this way that it happens is one way. And in other words, the greatness of who you really are is so very, very great. It is so very, very vast that one of the reasons that people who have connections to their true self believe that they're God, which is a misunderstanding, is because of the almost unlimited consciousness that you possess out of this body. So there's confusion, people who tap into that and feel that they actually are God, because in who you really are has such an unlimited consciousness. It's so vast that, and of course the contrast between that and what's in the body is so great. This is just a very tiny fragment. Anyway, today is just kind of a free-for-all, so I'll talk a little bit about that in case some of you haven't heard about this specific area so much. The thought of merging is a terrifying thought. If you're consciously aware of it or not, it is a terrifying thought, merging back into like this large entity, which doesn't seem to, which seems to be separate from you. Like here you are in this body, and then there's this big, vast, real you out there, which you're going to ultimately merge with, and you're going to become completely one with. And that is a terrifying thought because it feels like annihilation, or the mind interprets it as annihilation. In other words, this little bit is just going to basically disappear into this vast one being. So if you haven't heard this before, or even if you have, the way that it feels, even though there is a fear of annihilation that goes on in the mind, the way that it feels when you finally merge with your true self is of course nothing but the greatest ecstasy. And rather than a loss, how it feels is you become that entity. So there's no disappearance of the consciousness that you have right now. It's not that all consciousness that you have at this time becomes annihilated when that final merger takes place. What it feels like is you just become this incredible being who you really are. You just become that. And along with becoming that, of course, comes all of the unlimited ecstasy. This, of course, can only happen once you've left the body. So people talk about achieving the ultimate state while you're in the body, but there'll always be that you can't attain in the body just because of the limitations of the body. But you come in touch with that reality at times, and you can taste that reality. But the real becoming of that isn't going to be possible until you actually do leave the body. So it is not only something to not be afraid of, it is the most incredible thing. And of course it is completely going home, because it is a familiar state to you. Just as you've had meditations where you've had deep, powerful connections to God, there's something very familiar about it. It's not something like brand new, although maybe it seems like that at times. At many times also, you know, you've had experiences where it feels very familiar. So this is all well known to you. This that's going on here in this world is what's not normal. And in the span of eternity, what your whole time here in this material creation is a very tiny spark of time, very, very little bit of time. And you're just going to return to your ultimate reality, your original reality, after having fragmented off for this brief period in the material world. And fragmentation, without getting too far out, the other area of fragmentation is coming into this world. You come into this world in different bodies, lower bodies of evolution. And because even your fragmented portion can't be contained, or let's say there's not enough, or it's too much consciousness for these lower entities, you actually fragment into a number of entities simultaneously. I don't know how much of this material has been covered. So you've in other words, you are simultaneously existing in a number of bodies when you are existing in the lower species as you evolve through this world. Anyway, so I can give. So when you talk about fragmenting of Jesus and everything, it kind of give you an idea. Fragmenting does take place, and the fragments themselves are like their own entity, in a sense. But they're still part of the whole entity, but they're just a fragment of it. Anyway, now that you're thoroughly confused, any other questions?
Just to clarify that a little more, now that we've evolved into a human body, are we fragmented in more than one human body, or is it all contained?
Not you, and not anybody who's on this path. It's all contained. There are human bodies which aren't evolved where there still is fragmentation taking place. But you wouldn't be able to even do this if you were fragmented. And that's why it really isn't for everybody, and You really can talk to people who you can see it is totally impossible for them to even grasp what is going on here. It is just impossible. And that is because there is not even enough consciousness in that body to do it. There's just not enough there. It's not a matter of intelligence. There's just not enough consciousness. So anyway, so there are fragmented human beings also, but less evolved human beings. But once you've come to this point, you're basically all there, at least most of you.
Anyway. You've said so many times that that you're gonna, thousands of people need to go. And that seems so small to me. There's so many people who want to go, and what happens to them, you know? And what if I don't get, you know, what if I don't feel like... I don't feel like I could... I don't feel like I could handle it if I didn't go home this lifetime. And my mother's wanted this so much for so fucking long, and she's not there. I feel like if she dies without it, it just fucking... I can't even explain it. I just feel like... Well, I want to know, will everybody who really wants it, will they go? I don't know if you can tell me that.
No, not everybody. It's a harsh reality, this world. It's a harsh reality. Comfort can come in that everybody is going to leave, ultimately, of course. Nobody stays here permanently. Everyone is going to leave. It was never meant to be permanent, and it isn't. And everyone will leave eventually. But the amount of people who have left in the past has been very tiny. And the fact that even thousands are going to leave is just unprecedented, because leaving this place is so rare. So even with thousands being the number still, of who does that exclude? Well, it excludes almost everybody. It excludes almost everybody. And anyway, use that to feed your own longing. And make sure that you get out. What can be done? First you get free, and then you can take that same desire to get others free and turn around and help them. And it is this type of compassion and care for others that will drive you and motivate you, and you will get others free because you will want it so badly for them. Like I say, Kalindi and Gail, they are possessed with helping you. They think about nothing else. It is with them every minute of the day. What are they going to do to help you? What more can they do to help you? Always feeling that is inadequate. They need to do more and more. So you also need to become possessed like that. And feel that the people are not going to get free unless they are helped. And who is going to help them? There is a whole world of people waiting for this that do want it, and who is going to help them if it's not you? This is just the very beginning of this mission, very beginning. So, anyway, you all need to evolve as quickly as possible so you can begin to help. So I'm just going to take a short break.
Mention, because Grasana's statement, no, not everyone will make it. So everyone, eventually, when they are ready, and it's when you are ready, then you make it. When you are ready, then the help is always there. And everyone eventually will be ready. It may take, you know, millions of more lifetimes, but eventually everyone goes home. There is no eternal hell. Eventually everyone returns. When they're ready and evolution is at that point in them, then they go home. It can't happen until you're ready. Not God himself can stand in front of you and make you come home unless you want to. But there comes a point when everyone's finished and they're ready to go. And when that time comes, there's always help there. And it just so happens right now there's thousands that are ready, and so there's help coming in to help those thousands that are ready. And those thousands will turn around and help so many others. So this is a time in evolution where many, many people are ready more than ever before. I want to say one other thing to those of you, you've all read those books, and Gyaneshwar, you can just cut this part out of the tape when you edit it, but because people are going to hear this tape and haven't read the books. But those books, you have to remember, if you go all the way back in the beginning, they are a story that has been put together to help you to feel your feelings. The books themselves are not the truth, but it's a story that's come through to help you. So you want to give up the books. You don't want to become trapped in trying to figure those books out at all. And when you are free, you will then understand what those books were all about. Mm-hmm. Right now, you can just become lost in so many words. So if you can, did you all bring your books with you? I would like you to turn them in so we can just use them for the next group of people. But you don't need to go over and over and over those books. They're a big trap. They're just words meant to help you feel the feelings. But the books themselves are not the truth.
Question is for either Clendi or Grasana. In regards to bringing the material life and taking care of ourselves and this prosperity allowance to come into us and bringing that in with God, and Clendi mentioning that she is going to take a small amount of us now that are ready to do the final steps. Can that happen simultaneously for someone that, like myself, that really needs to surrender to allowing the material world to work for me? How can I, and is it possible that I, like, do it all at one time rather than having to wait for my material life to come together and then do Does it have to happen separately, or can it all happen like together all at once?
The reason, I'll give you 6 months, get ready, because you could go right now to God, but you have so many things to get through. So within 6 months, every 6 months, I'm going to open it up again, who's ready. So every 6 months, there will be another group ready. But I can't be worried about you and your material life. It's too much for me to carry. So I want the people that I'm going to take through that to be able to stand on their own foundation, so I can just help you spiritually. I don't want to have to, because it's a commitment for you to give your life to me, but it's a big commitment that I make to you, and I feel everything right along with you. And it's too much for me to carry you materially. That's too much. It rips me apart, and I can't do anything about it. So that's why I'm requesting for everyone to not have to bring that part of their life to me.
That brings me to another question. With when we're at that point when we can just give our whole selves to the mission of becoming free and surrendering our whole life to all the time that it takes, how then does the material life stay intact?
But you see, you can't understand that it's both. You have to get both of them together and see that there's no difference. Your material life, Gail was a school teacher for, you know, years of her transformation. They were both happening. She was working all day long, and she'd come home at light, and she'd meditate, and all day long she'd be intense at school, and then she'd come home and be up all night. Both of them need to happen. And to dedicate your life totally to your spiritual doesn't mean you neglect your material. You don't neglect either one. They both have to come together. You don't neglect either one. And once you surrender and let your material come together, it will just happen. It'll just be part of your life. So it won't be, okay, now I'm going to surrender to my spiritual. What do you mean surrender to your... You should be doing them both. So do them both, and never not do them both. They both happen, and doing them both is your spiritual work. Both of them.
Could you please talk a little bit about what an incarnation is?
Well, definition of that is difficult. We are going to have a special event soon where we have the whole core and actually other people who are involved in the transformation come and go over the transformation of this body, whatever you want to call it, and what took place and how it took place to clarify some things for a lot of people. The word incarnation is something that's, is practically speaking, there's just more misunderstanding than understanding. As soon as you make a definition, then it's immediately wrong. So you have to understand that. As soon as you make a definition, it's going to be wrong. So understanding that basic thing, how it breaks down is something like this, and I'll just speak of this transformation that's taken place with this body, and that is, you could say there are three different things. There is all that is, which is all that is, everything, which or, you know, people call God. And you could say that out of that manifested an incarnation. And that incarnation, if you wanted to use that word, which isn't a good word, but anyway, and that incarnation's name was Gurasana. And that incarnation came with an entourage, which is all over the earth. And then, this is where you get into a problem with being an incorrect definition. And that is, anyway, in saying that this part of Grasana came into this body and resides in this body. So if you wanted to use a word, you could say in one sense that it is also a fragmented portion of an entire being. The difference being that the entire being is an incarnation of God. And actually, of course, there is no separation. Anyway. I guess just to simplify the whole thing is simply that somehow or other there is a presence of God that is in this body. Somehow or other there is a presence of this body. It's even touchier than talking about fragmentation, which is a reality, but when you start to talk about it and the details of it and everything, it becomes such a mess. And it's really not essential to know that. Somehow or other the presence of God came into this body. Somehow or other that happened. And we will talk more detailed about how that took place in the future. We're going to make up a tape. And that presence is here now and can help. And that's really the only thing that's important. I know we say that, and that is really the only thing that is important for you to keep in mind, is that it's just a force that is here to help you.
Can you talk about the area of the mind and how to best deal with it on this path? Because I know it's my biggest obstacle.
Controlling the mind and controlling the senses. This again is the traditional path of freedom. It's always been about controlling the senses and controlling the mind. And to be free in this world, you need to be in control of your mind and your senses. People mistakenly think that freedom means doing whatever you feel like doing. But the reality is your mind and your senses are dictating things for you to do, and if you follow the dictates of your mind and your senses, then you are totally lost and you are totally bound. freedom means that you have control over your mind and your senses, that you are telling them what to do. They are like material mechanisms that you can control. But if they are controlling you, then there's havoc in your life. So this is an important point for everyone to understand, because that is a misunderstanding that goes on in different degrees with different people. Again, that freedom means doing what you feel like. So if you're free and you're in the middle of the store, you can take your clothes off and, you know, whatever, because you're free. You're no longer bound by this material world and its rules. But it's not any whim that passes your mind. That's not what freedom is about at all. So anyway, this is one thing, that it is important that you control your mind and your senses, and that they are not controlling you. And the reality is it's a loss of control that usually plunges people into unhappiness, doing things that they know they shouldn't do, but they have no control over it. And anyway, there's also individualized help with the mind. We have an expert on the mind here, and that is Jim.
Where's Jim?
Oh, there's Jim. Ah. I don't think there's any path you can go down in your mind that Jim hasn't treaded already.
It's called paving the way for others.
So if you really want help with the mind, you need to talk to Jim, because I know it gets very complicated up there.
Whenever I'm working the seminars or the retreats, I feel very connected and very open in my heart. And I walk out of the door and I go back to Los Angeles where I'm living. And I feel like the openness that I have is attractive to all the forces that are out there. And then an incredible turbulence starts. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't know if it's a good thing that I am somehow letting it touch me and learning something from it, because through the turbulence I'm seeing my guilt, my shame, my mistrust, the hatred. All of that has come up through those experiences. And on the other side, I'm like, what am I doing? Is there a value in that? Because this other part of me just feels like what I did before was I left for India and lived there for 10 years. I said, fuck this, I don't want it. I am going to the mountains and I'm going to retreat. And I have a real confusion about living in that world and facing whatever comes up and retreating back from it, not completely, but to a safer place.
Hmm. You have any comment on that?
I'd like you to talk about, maybe you can spend a few minutes now talking about the area of guidance and the need for guidance on the spiritual path. Ultimately, that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
You don't know, and you have to get to the point where you're willing to trust somebody that does know.
Yeah. Right. This is... This is something that's happening that isn't going to be solved in a couple of minute answer. And these types of different problems that everyone comes across is where the guidance comes in. And without the guidance, you're lost. You really need to understand that and come from a place of humility in understanding that and trust, of course, trust in the guidance that's being offered. The ego would like to defend itself and doesn't want to be told what to do, so to come to the proper state that you need to accept the guidance is also a very important thing. So not only is it essential that you take the guidance or that you come and get guidance, but that you really hear. And the reality is so many come and they ask for help, but they're not really open, not open enough, that's for certain. And they're resisting the help, and they're defending themselves, and yes, and basically, what it really comes down to is you think you know better. This is just talking about the problems in the area of guidance. You think that you actually know better. That maybe Kalindi or Gail or whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't understand the whole picture, but you really do, so you'll take some of the help, but they don't really quite understand the whole thing or whatever. So that's the area of trust. But without the guidance, you won't make it. Without the guidance, you won't be able to get free. It's absolutely essential. That is one thing on the path of freedom that has not changed. You've always needed a teacher. You've always needed a master. You've always had to have that guidance. And without that guidance, there are so many ways that you can get lost on the way. There are so many ways. Practically, they're unlimited. The different ways of illusion that are weaved for you to get trapped in. There are so many ways. As soon as you have a religious experience and you have a vision, it can go right to your ego and you can think, I'm so wonderful. But it's the being of illusion that thinks he's so wonderful, not your true self. And you're caught there. There are so many people who are caught there in the New Age. They're having religious experiences. They are having connections with God, but they're taking them and they're going right to their ego with them. And they don't see that. They think that they are that being. And they think that they are so great, but so you're even taking a spiritual experience itself, which while it's bringing you closer to God, is also binding you if you're taking it to your ego. Of course, they're not open for guidance. And in the same way, some of you are not also as open as you should be about guidance because your ego is there. And basically, you think you know better, and this is suicidal. And when you asked earlier about is everyone going to get free, yes, everyone whose sincere desire it is and everyone who really lets go, but there will be some who will defend their ego until their death and they will not get free. Your trust in what's going on here has to increase and it has to deepen on a daily basis until you will truly trust the guidance. And they, like they have the example of the snake and the stick in India of spiritual master. It says, pick up that stick. The disciple picks up the stick and says, what are you doing? You're holding a snake. Drop it. And he drops it. And he says, why did you throw down the stick? I told you to pick it up. Picks up the stick. That's a snake. What are you doing? Are you crazy? Like that. Just to get to, actually, it's an illustration of like a kind of mindlessness that you come to, a kind of mindlessness, but it's extremely mindful mindlessness. In other words, you're going to be very conscious of what's going on, but there has to be a trust in those that have gone before you. There has to be a trust in the guidance that takes place, because without that guidance, you're lost.
I also had to trust on my path. I had to trust Grasana. I had guidance in a body. And there were many things that I had to do. There was crucial points for all of us. I remember for Gail also, there came points where it was very critical that she took certain steps or she wouldn't have made it. She wouldn't have made it. And there were things that I had to do that I really didn't want to do. But I said, yes, I trusted the guidance, and I just felt everything as a result of saying yes, but I trusted and I went forward it very quickly. But I had to trust, and if I wouldn't have trusted, I would never be where I am. Just like you can see how much help everybody needs just to get their material life together. Can you understand how much help there needs and support? And just to get working out your body, there takes so much support. There's a whole organization's created, spas and everything, just to help you to work out your body and learn how to do that. What to speak of the hardest thing to learn, how to get free. So for people to think that they don't need a teacher, you need a teacher in every area of your life in this place. Whatever you're doing, you have to learn from someone. That's an area that everyone's blinded to. How do I do it? And everyone's constantly searching for guidance in books and this place, that place, every other place. And there comes a point when you're seriously wanting self-realization. And when you want it seriously, then guidance will be standing in front of you. And then you have to trust.
On our first night here, when we were doing sharing, Gail asked me, will you sell your house and move to San Diego? And I said, yes. And right away, there was a lot of fear and a lot of resistance about it. And I remembered that 2 days before I took the original seminar, I'd been driving to work, and it came to me that I should sell my house and move to San Diego and get what I could get here and take it back to Austin so that I could help that center to grow. And so that seemed to me like guidance of another kind. Could you talk about that, please?
That specific guidance?
Whether we get guidance of another kind as well, and how do we know to trust that kind of guidance?
There's areas of guidance that that are being left alone more and more. and that have to be left alone as an organization. What the Corps went through with me guiding them and like my guidance with Kalindi, it frequently didn't follow logic and reason, which is very hard for people. And as dedicated as you may think you are, if I were to go into that mode and you could no longer understand it with your mind, then it becomes very difficult. Then it really is a trust issue. If you can no longer understand it with your mind, if it doesn't make sense, 1 + 1 no longer equals 2, then it becomes really hard. And that's just one thing. I'm just talking about one area, which was something that was special about the Corps and Kalindi. And they really had to go, I mean, they really had to put up with one thing one day and another thing the other day, and it didn't follow logic and reason. And anyway, I'm mentioning that. This isn't a direct answer to that question right at this point, because I wanted to continue on with this discussion about the guidance. But if you want to understand everything with your mind, you're really going to be in trouble on this path, even as it is. And it's been, you might say, cleaned up a lot to where it can make sense, where at least you can, it can appear to 1 + 1 = 2 sometimes. So this is an important area of guidance, not only accepting the guidance, but if you need to understand everything with your mind and it all needs to make perfect sense to you, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And this is where the trust comes in. The trust has to come so greatly in the guidance that you just basically do it. You can try to achieve some understanding in the discussion when you're getting the guidance. Whoever you're talking with, of course, during the discussion, you can come to some conclusions, but there are certain points where you just have to trust and you just have to move, because you are blinded to being able to see what is being done with you. You can't understand what it is. You can't understand that you're truly stuck in an area and that you really need to do something to break free from it. Or even if you have a glimpse that you need, you don't have enough trust to do it. And you need to come to a point of complete trust where you can take the guidance.
He's not done talking yet.
Just a moment. The thing is, where we run into trouble as an organization is giving you specific advice about what to do. And while it may be a benefit to you, it hurts us as an organization. So we have to back away from giving specific guidance in areas. And while that still may go on to some extent, like selling your house, something practical like that, this is something that you really are going to have to understand for yourself. You are really going to have to understand it clearly for yourself, so that we're not dictating your lives for you and controlling your lives. This is very important as an organization, that you are in control of your life, and it is ultimately up to you in whatever you do. So you can listen to advice, but again, in specific areas like who you should be with, if you should sell your house, get a job, and everything like that, you can listen, but ultimately you have to be careful about making your own decisions. And this is, this, anyway, like in all areas, it's, you know, you're going to be making decisions which may help or may hurt you. But anyway, what is good about this is it's going to is going to put more pressure on you to get, like you may say, confirmation from within. It's going to push you to get that confirmation within. So if you hear something like that from without, what you should do, it is going to push you to also get it from within, so that you are acting on your own volition and not being coerced or something. All right.
Can I respond to that too?
Yeah.
Millie, I was also responding to your desire or exploration in this area, because you had already shared with me a couple of weeks ago when I asked you a question, how seriously do you want your freedom? And from you, you said, I would give up everything and move to San Diego. So in that horseshoe situation, and you stood up there and said, I want this more than anything, then I'm just throwing out, I'm addressing an openness that you have, as Grasna just said, for you to further pursue for yourself if this is the next step for you to take. So in that, I ask you, are you willing? I'm looking for willingness. Are you willing to sell your house, change your job, and move to San Diego? And you just screamed, yes. And you see, a couple of days later, you're still exploring this. But it's got to come from within you. Is this the next step for you to take? Will you benefit spiritually? Is this right for you? Is this the next step? Do you know that this is the next step? And so maybe you say yes, and you come and have this experience with us maybe for a year, and then you take it back to Austin, and then you infuse them with everything that you've gained. Do you see? So that's what I was doing with you. Responding to an openness that you already had for exploration. You know, this life, you'd have to change a lot in your life. And then also, you know, maybe you're going to explore this area within your consciousness. Do I need to do this next? And then make the decision, no, I need to stay there in Austin and help Elise. Do you see what I mean? But it's created an openness for you to decide what it is that you need to do.
Okay. And I still have a question about where that original impulse came from when I hadn't even taken the seminar and didn't know what it was. Is that guidance from elsewhere, or did that come from inside myself?
That came from within you, because I never said to you, you should sell your house and quit your job and move. You see, that came from totally within you, but it came from your desire. It came from your desire, I'll do whatever it takes to break free.
You're trying to find out if you can trust that. Where did it come from? Can you trust that
what
guidance?
What happened back in October?
So, Grasana, maybe you can talk about trusting the guidance within, because a lot of times it's real guidance, it's coming from God, and you need to act on it, and sometimes it's just coming from the illusion. So maybe that area can be talked about.
Yeah. That's why you need the outward guidance, because as we've discussed before, the inward guidance can be faulty. It cannot be the truth, or it can have truth to it, but it can be off. So it's basically contaminated. You can pretty much count on that. Well, you can count on that it's not going to be all the time accurate. And that's why you need the outside guidance. So when we talk to people about that you can't totally trust it, it doesn't mean that we don't want you to continue to be open to that, of course, and hear and receptive to that, because you do. You want to always keep that as a wide open channel. But if you're hearing one thing from within, and you come here and you hear something entirely different, then it comes down to trusting, again, this guidance. You can trust the inner guidance, but if it is totally going against the grain of what's going on here, then it'll come down to a trust issue of what's going on. Because, of course, people hear things from within that are just nonsense, or that are coming totally from ego and are not direct guidance at all. but that's being nurtured already. That like the way Gail is talking, and she's dealing with people like this with great care, nurturing their own ability to tap into this inner guidance also. But you have to make sure that both align. The way they put it in India is that actually you want a confirmation from three sources, and that is you want it from within, which is they call God, that you want it from the guru, and then you also want it from scripture. Well, we don't rely so much on the words, but you do. But so confirmation, basically you want to have confirmation of your internal guidance. You want to make sure that what you're getting internally is also being confirmed outwardly. And there will come a point where it will always be the same. But while you're on the path and while you're still being controlled by the illusion, you need to make sure that your inner guidance is confirmed by the outer. So again, the outer is just essential. You have to be listening. You have to be listening. And along that line, in order to listen to the guidance, you have to be asking, and a lot of you are not asking for guidance in areas that you really need it. But of course, this is a question of surrender and when you're going to be ready to surrender more. But if you want to get free in this lifetime, some of you need to move a little faster. This is just another point. You have to understand something about the illusion, is that all the illusion wants to do is make sure you don't get free in this lifetime. So if it can't get you to stop this work, then its next objective is going to be to slow you down. Because if it can slow you down enough, then you won't be able to get free in this lifetime, and then it can deal with you in the next lifetime, and whatever tricks it's going to use in the next lifetime to capture you. So you can continue the work, and again, this goes back to, is everyone going to get free? The reality is everyone is not, because the illusion is going to slow you down enough so that you just won't have enough time to make it. It's just going to slow you down enough. So, move as quickly as you can.